just leave it.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to an exciting edition of True Crime on Easy Street. Scott's microphone has gas this morning. Yeah, I don't know if you heard that.
We stumbled right out of the gate this morning.
Yeah, here we are. Good morning, everybody. Welcome back. It's a beautiful day as we sit in the studios and record and gaze across the way there at Easy Street Restaurant Bar and Performance Hall, where they will be serving brunch very soon.
Very soon.
Because it's a Sunday.
Yeah, let's wrap it up.
Okay. If you have not had brunch at Easy Street on Sunday, go. Mm-hmm. Go and do that.
Food's delicious.
I think it's time for a sound check.
Please do.
Let's do that.
Sound check. We're good. Oh, good.
Thumbs
sound
up
check.
From the production Yay. Team. So we're ready to go.
My name is Kelly Turner, not a doctor.
Scott Wright, mediocre journalist.
Teddy Givens, not a lawyer.
And here we are. I have no idea what Scott is talking about today. He is in the big chair, but before we get to that, do we have any shout outs, questions, concerns?
I have many concerns.
Oh, do you?
But let's skip those for this week and just do the shout out. So I bumped into my friend, Raina Cervantes.
Okay.
And this is a shout out done in faith because she has never listened to the show, but she promised me that if I promised her I would give her a shout out on the show, that she would start listening. So, Raina, I will be checking in with you.
Mm-hmm, let's do this.
To make sure that you are a fan of the show now.
Because a shout out will quickly become.
Oh, yeah. We can turn that thumb upside down on you.
A shout down. Exactly.
Instantly.
Mm-hmm. Instantly. So we don't want to do that. We're not going to have to do that.
I don't know. She's kind of, she's got a little attitude about her.
Oh,
Raina.
My.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm probably in trouble already for saying that.
You might be.
So I don't know. I'm not going to confront her, especially not in a public place in case I get my ass beat. But I will be checking in to make sure that she's listening.
All right. All right. Does anybody else have any other shout outs?
Do we want to shout out our newest sponsor? Aeon Water Technology.
Oh my gosh.
We have a new segment in the show today.
Mm-hmm.
Sponsored by Aeon Water Technology.
And I have a glass of this delicious, refreshing, cool water.
Ready with the sound effects.
I'm going to just take it. This is happening. Here we go. That was so refreshing.
Because
it really is good water.
You could have done that
good.
Without actually taking a sip of the water.
Oh, no.
One would have done
it. If I'm anything, I'm transparent.
And it comes out cold. Like my glass is like cold over here.
I think it comes in two temperatures.
It does.
Hot
so
and
when
cold.
When I'm ready for my hot tea or my hot chocolate, I'm just going to hit it up. But we are enjoying this immensely.
Glad to have them on board.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because they installed a water cooler in the studio.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we
love it.
Yep, we have all the water we need now.
I almost tripped over it when I came in.
So when we get to the ad portion of today's episode, listen closely to their ad so that you know how to contact them so you can enjoy.
Now, basically, we've given them two ads.
The cool, clear water.
It will be three before the show is over.
We just
Not that we're complaining.
We love people like that. We can talk about other sponsors. We love Connie Geimer.
Yeah. Greg Oliver.
We love Greg Oliver.
The Chamber.
We love the Cherokee Chamber. See, everybody gets the love. And if you want to be a sponsor of ours, just email us.
It's easier than you think.
TrueCrimeOnEasyStreet @gmail.com. All right, we're done. That is enough housekeeping.
Yeah,
okay?
That's more than enough.
All right, but I'm still going to enjoy my water. And you are going to talk about, I'm pointing to Scott, you.
Sit back and relax. I will do the talking today.
Okay, then.
Uh-oh. Some of it.
All right.
But you guys need to jump in.
You've climbed up in your big chair. It took you a minute.
So you guys know, we've talked about this in a group text recently. I've kind of been scrambling around, trying to figure out what I was going to do next when it was my turn. So I tinkered with the idea of doing either True Crime in Hollywood.
Oh, okay.
Or something about the Menendez brothers, because they have a hearing coming up on May the 9th. Mm-hmm. So one of us needs to do the Menendez brothers sooner than later, but maybe we could wait till after that hearing, because they're trying to decide, the California Parole Board, if the Menendez brothers have served their penalty for their crime and are safe to be released back into society.
Yes, and that's a really, I don't know if it's a controversial topic. I mean, I think you have people on both sides of the aisle, but it seems to me that there are more people for them getting out than for them staying in.
Things have changed a lot in 30 years, just as far as what is the social climate.
Mm-hmm.
And you throw sexual abuse as a child into that equation, and 30 years later, things are different than they were.
All of a sudden, a shotgun to the face doesn't sound that bad, does it?
That's the debate that's being taking place right now in California.
Yep. So we'll watch that unfold and then we can give everybody the 101 of that. There's a lot of documentaries though that are really good that you can watch.
Yeah, and that's a crazy story.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's not what you're doing today.
I'm going to tell you a crazy story today.
Oh, wow. Oh.
I mean, crazy. So we've got two dummies in the room.
Yes.
Well, three really. Yeah. But I'm in the big chair.
Okay.
Now, if you want to make a drinking game out of today's episode.
I do.
A la Shorty West.
I love it. Because
he loves to give me a hard time when I say the same word too many times. And if I don't go off script too much today, I'm going to say one word in particular. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Okay.
You got to figure it out.
All right.
At least 40 times today.
Good grief.
Ooh, so I suggest that if you're going to make a drinking game out of this, you sip, not shoot, your alcohol or beverage of choice.
Right. And certainly don't drive, no matter which one you
do. No matter what. Don't do that. All right. How would you guys like to hear a story about romance, high stakes, adventure, good old naked greed?
Okay.
And then sprinkle in some true crime. And when I talk about true crime, I mean trespassing. Now, wait a minute, it gets better. Vandalism, lawsuits, kidnapping, death threats.
Good grief. Okay.
And five dead bodies.
Oh.
I did not see that coming. So,
that was my intention.
Let's do it.
Oh, and also, we're going to throw in a multi-million-dollar cache of gold coins, jewelry, and emeralds hidden somewhere in the Rocky Mountains.
Good grief, I'm not ready for like things like emeralds and golden coins.
The hunt for that.
Is this a pirate treasure?
Sort of.
Wow.
That hunt lasted 10 years and involved a number of treasure seekers that by conservative estimates numbered in the tens of thousands.
Wow.
Now think about it. Unless your last name is Musk or Gates or Zuckerberg, a couple of million bucks can change your life forever.
Yes.
You can never work again and maintain your consistent lifestyle and send your grandkids to college. Right? I'm looking for some confirmation.
Sure.
Here. Okay, so now it's time for the Aeon water cooler section of today's show. We're standing around the water cooler.
Ooh, let me have a drink.
Let's talk about movies for just a second. Has anybody ever seen the 1963 feature film titled It's a Mad, 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 Mad World?
No, I know that Katie hasn't. When you said 1963, I started to just say, no, I have not.
Well, that movie is a comedy about a bunch of goofballs
going
nuts over a treasure hunt. National Treasure with Nicolas Cage from 2004.
I have seen that.
All right. Mm-hmm. The Da Vinci Code with Tom Hanks from 2006.
Read the book and saw the movie.
Same. Mm-hmm. Katie, good.
I've seen the movie.
What about the 1985 film, The Goonies?
I have, yes.
Everybody, Katie's, she's a hard no on The Goonies.
No.
You can see it on AMC Plus.
It's a good movie.
Yeah. And that's a treasure hunt.
Yeah.
And of course, there are dozens of treasure hunt films that have been made in the history of Hollywood. Those are a few of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
The Outer Banks.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a great series. I haven't seen all of it, but I know what you're talking about. Yep. So, you know, there's even some talk that Steven Spielberg is going to get the original gang from The Goonies back together and make a sequel.
Oh, wow.
I saw Corey Feldman, Josh Brolin, Sean Austin. They're thinking about getting them all back together.
So I guess The Goonies is a Spielberg film?
That is correct.
It is.
Yes, it was a treasure hunt.
Mm-hmm.
An ancient map, riddles to solve, bad guys. It had the whole schmear. And by the end of the day, of course, it was only a Hollywood fantasy. Today's story is the story of a real live treasure hunt. And that is the end of our Aeon water cooler section.
Okay.
This story features a puzzle and a chase and a box of gold at the end of the rainbow. And a poem plays the lead character as the X that marks the spot. But before I read you the poem, here's what I want everybody to do. If you're out there listening, grab your phone, go to Google, and search Finn's treasure. Now, you guys don't have to do that because I brought you a picture of it. There's the picture of what we're looking for. But if you look up Finn's treasure, F-E-N-N apostrophe S, you'll see what we're looking for.
What all am I looking at?
I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
What you will see, you will find a 10 inch by 10 inch by 5 inch box that weighs 22 pounds empty, twice that amount when it's filled with over $1 million in loot. And hidden somewhere in the Rocky Mountains north of Santa Fe, New Mexico in 2010.
Okay.
And guys, that's a giant chunk of geography. That's it, The Rockies are 3,000 miles from just north of Santa Fe, well into Canada. In some places, the Rockies are over 400 miles wide. That's 300,000 square miles of territory.
Does Finn remember where he put his loot?
I'm getting to that.
Oh, okay.
So if this sounds interesting so far, stick around for the next hour or so. And after you do that, go to Netflix. There's a brand new documentary on Netflix. It's only been out since April the 10th, I think. I watched it last weekend. It's titled Gold and Greed, The Hunt for Finn's Treasure.
Okay.
When I sat down to watch that documentary series, I had no idea about the three-hour journey I was about to take. My sink was full of dishes. Laundry hadn't been folded. My three little buddies were barking their heads off, wanting their mid-morning treat. And I was propped up in the bed on a beautiful, sunny Saturday morning, trying not to blink for fear of missing something.
Oh, wow.
30 minutes into episode number one in that three-part series, it hit me. My search for my next topic when it was my turn in the big chair was over. I looked at my dogs and said, guys, this is the one I'm doing. And they barked in agreement or out of hunger. But anyway, they barked.
Yeah. Let's do a wellness check on Scott's animals.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
Put that on the list.
Now, the reason that I made that decision at the 30-minute mark of the first episode is because that's when the first crime got mentioned.
Okay.
And I thought, I can sell this to the girls, meaning you two, and get away with it. I'm scared to death when this is over. You're going to say, not enough true crime. Throw it in the garbage. Come back next week. Try again.
Yeah, except you didn't sell it to us. You just said,
well, that's why
I'm not telling
y'all
what I'm doing.
I can't tell you what I'm doing, but here it is.
That's why I didn't tell you.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, so I finished the documentary series on Netflix, and I grabbed my Kindle, and I found a couple of books about this topic. One of them is titled Chasing the Thrill by Daniel Barbarisi from 2021. And the other is titled The Solve, Finding Forrest Finn's Treasure by an author named Anthony Michael from 2020. So if you want to learn more about this topic after today's episode, remember everybody out there, we are the 101 version of true crime. Team of experts, though we are.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a good article, just Google anywhere. There's a great article from Time Magazine. The local newspapers in the Santa Fe area covered this story constantly as it was happening. And there's probably a lot of other places that you can go. But I think I found enough to make this interesting. I think.
I'm intrigued.
Now, like I said before, today's story is not a true crime per se. But this search for this treasure spawned much more than its fair share of true crime during the decade that the hunt existed. So that's our focus today. Much like Anthony Michael explained in his book, The Solve, I too found myself down a wormhole. We would call it a rabbit hole here on Easy Street. Here's what Anthony Michael wrote in his introduction. I stumbled into the wormhole of Forrest Finn's riddle in 2017. I've since come face to face with a disgruntled grizzly bear, struggled through waist-deep snow, waded through endless piles of cow shit, and have been disoriented, lost off trail. I've fallen, twisted my ankle, trespassed, allegedly, and taken rental cars way beyond their intended use. I've been rained on, hailed on, bitten by flies, and tortured by bees. I've wandered in the woods for countless hours and studied maps for days. Before I had even picked up copies of Finn's book for myself, I was hooked. And guys, that's what got me into this story.
Wow.
And I dare say that the two of you, and maybe everybody out there within the sound of my voice, will be hooked as well before we're finished here today. Now, I mentioned that Forrest Finn wrote a book, and I'll get to that shortly. And I realize nothing I've said so far makes a whole lot of sense yet. I can see the look of confusion on Kelly's face. Katie is looking out the window. But if I tell this story, it will all make sense by the time I'm finished. And unlike what I often do when it's my turn in the big chair, and Travis has called me out on this before, I'm not going to say next week at all this time because we're going to wrap this all up in an hour or so in one episode. Here we go. First of all, I told you that Forrest Finn wrote a book, but first let me tell you who Forrest Finn was. Forrest Finn was a combat pilot in the United States Air Force during the Korean War. He was still in the Air Force over a decade later for the Vietnam War, where he flew 328 missions in 365 days, combat missions.
Wow.
He had two jet airplanes shot out from under him.
Good
he
grief.
Spent a night in Laos in the jungle waiting to be picked up by an American helicopter. He won the Silver Star for heroism and got two Purple Hearts. And he wrote about all of this in 2010 in a book titled The Thrill of the Chase, which is why Barbarisi titled his book Chasing the Thrill.
Okay.
Now, I did not read Finn's book. Two reasons for that. Number one, I'm a mediocre journalist.
Yeah.
Number two, they're $80 a piece. And I didn't know if it was in the budget.
Why? Oh, it's like a limited printing kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
So, and especially when you guys hear about what I'm going to suggest at the end of the show, it's definitely not in the budget.
Got it.
Yeah, it's also like, you like to like rip books in half and stuff. You don't treat books well, so. Mm.
They're meant to be used.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put them on a shelf.
I do put them on a shelf, but you can see I've used them.
I'm talking to Ellison Gibbons.
Oh.
Okay, back to Finn. After his military flying days were over, but still many years before he wrote the book, Finn was diagnosed with kidney cancer and given a 20% chance of living 3 or more years. That was in 1988, the year I graduated from high school. Finn had retired from the Air Force and opened an art gallery in Santa Fe, New Mexico. At one point, it generated an estimated $6 million a year in sales. Wow. So now you see how he was able to acquire such a fortune that he was able to part ways with a couple of million of it and go hide him in the Rocky Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
But we're still getting to that part. Now, allegedly, there were some nefarious art deals that Finn perpetrated during his time as an art collector and dealer. In fact, once the Bureau of Land Management raided his home, waving a warrant, looking for Native American artifacts that they had accused him of obtaining illegally. The word you were looking for is grave robbing. I forgot to mention that.
Oh, my.
Okay.
Ultimately, the BLM dropped the matter after they made an agreement with Finn not to prosecute them or sue them for wrongful prosecution or violating his civil rights, whatever it was.
Hmm.
Apparently, they had nothing. Hmm. But he signed a document saying, I won't sue you. We just dropped the whole
thing. Wash our hands of each other.
That's right. So back in 88, when Finn was dying from cancer, he came up with this idea that he was going to take his own life. He was going to walk out into the Rocky Mountains somewhere to one of his many favorite remote fly fishing spots. He was an avid fly fisherman, and he was going to take his own life. But he wasn't going to be alone, according to his plan. He was going to take a treasure with him, a pile of some of the many things he had accumulated over his years as an art dealer. And he was going to somehow leave behind a pile of clues so that someone somewhere sometime in the future might find his dead body and his treasure. And then, Forrest Finn beat cancer.
Mm.
He got better. He wasn't going to die after all, at least not yet. So he didn't have to trudge into the woods, and he didn't have to swallow a bottle of sleeping pills and lie down in the leaves for the last time.
Mm.
But he did hold on to the idea of hiding a treasure somewhere in the Rocky Mountains and waving a green flag to any treasure seeker who wanted to go and try and find it. Finn paid $30,000 for a 10 by 10 by 5 bronze lockbox, which dated from the 1100s.
Ooh.
That was part of the treasure.
Yeah.
The inside of the box he lined with cedar, and the box became his treasure chest. And over a dozen years, beginning in 1998, he patiently placed inside it a variety of items he had acquired, including several 19th century gold and silver coins, 2 gold nuggets, each weighing more than a pound, rare jewels, pre-Columbian artifacts, Chinese jade carvings, an antique gold bracelet set with 254 rubies, and several small diamonds. Finally, Finn was satisfied that he had compiled a treasure worth seeking. In his book, Finn wrote the following: "It had been so much fun building my collection over the decades. Why not let others come searching for some of it while I'm still here, and maybe continue looking for it after I'm gone?" Finn said on several occasions that he hid the box and its contents not only to enrich whoever found it, but to ensure treasure seekers to find, or to inspire treasure seekers to find other intangible rewards in the search itself. He said he wanted people to get off their couches and get out in the countryside and I'm quoting here, put down their little handheld machines.
Mm.
Now, here's just a couple of quick notes to give you the sort of the character of this man, Forrest Finn. During the years before he retired as an art dealer, now he sold his gallery in 88 when he was diagnosed. But he kept a pair of live alligators outside his art gallery in Santa Fe. He told one of the authors of the books that I read that the alligators, one was named Beowulf, the other was named Elvis, All right. He said they were terrible pets. Hard to feed without losing a hand. But they're great for business because they brought in curious potential customers for his art gallery.
Good grief.
Also, Finn had a client list filled with famous names. Among them, Ralph Lauren, Robert Redford, Gerald Ford, and Suzanne Summers. Katie, Suzanne Summers was on a TV show back in the 70s called Three's Company. We will show you an example. We've been waiting for you. All right. Anyway, so after Finn got his treasure, he got his chest, is loaded up with his goodies, he sat down to write a memoir that would serve as a treasure map, and that is The Thrill of the Chase. It was published in 2010. The only hints that Finn provided about the bounty's location were that it was located at between 5,000 and 10,200 feet above sea level in elevation. It was located near trees, and that he hauled it there himself in two trips from his car, which implied that there was a road somewhere nearby. He published the book himself and sold it at cost because he didn't want to be accused of perpetrating a hoax to generate book sales. During the decade that the hunt lasted, Finn would occasionally publicly reveal additional clues, either by accident or on purpose. That was always a matter of conjecture. There were 9 clues in the poem itself. And it took him a decade to tinker with the words of the poem and get them exactly like he wanted them. And when he finally had it the way he liked it, he did those 1,000 copies of the book, took them to a bookstore in Santa Fe, and waved the green flag. You guys ready to hear the poem?
I'm ready. Mm-hmm.
As I have gone alone in there and with my treasures bold, I can keep my secret where and hint of riches new and old. Begin it where warm waters halt and take it in the canyon down. Not far, but too far to walk. Put in below the home of brown. From there, it's no place for the meek. The end is ever drawing nigh. There'll be no paddle up your creek, just heavy loads and waters high. If you've been wise and found the blaze, look quickly down your quest to cease. But tarry scant with marvel gaze. Just take the chest and go in peace. So why is it that I must go and leave my trove for all who seek? The answer I already know. I've done it tired, and now I'm weak. So hear me all and listen good. Your effort will be worth the cold. If you're brave and in the wood, I give you title to the gold. That's the poem. Finn took those 1,000 copies of his memoir to the rare bookstore in Santa Fe called Collected Works and told the lady who owned the place to split the profits of the sales between herself and a cancer charity of her choice. That was late 2010 when that happened. Finn was 80 years old at the time, and he'd already made 2 trips out into this secret place, one of his favorite places growing up, the place where he was going to die. That's how much this was his favorite place. And now those clues were available to anyone with $80 and a thrill of adventure buried somewhere in their bones. And one of the clues that Finn gave to searchers early on was not to look for the treasure anywhere that an 80-year-old man couldn't get to on foot. It didn't stop people from doing the craziest shit you've ever heard of in your life. And remember now, I said there were only 1,000 copies to begin with. Ultimately, that book would go through 13 reprintings during the decade that the treasure hunt lasted. So there are a lot more than 1,000 people who had access to Finn's clues. Now, think about the poem, and I want to hear from both of you your initial thoughts about the poem and the clues and everything we've heard so far right after these words from our sponsors.
Hey, Scott, how have you been feeling lately?
Fine so far.
Are you good? Do you have allergies or any kind of issues that someone from Cherokee Family Healthcare could help you with?
Not now, but they have in the past. Tell everybody what they can do for you.
All right. So Connie Geimer and crew, they are there Monday through Friday. You can check out their website at CherokeeFamilyHealth.com for all of their office hours and detailed information. But what they are committed to doing is providing the highest quality of healthcare to patients with compassion and respect. And I can attest to that, Scott. How about you? Did you have a good experience?
I had a wonderful experience. My only time I've ever been to Cherokee Family Healthcare.
and it was great.
100%.
Awesome. Well, I've been participating in the weight loss clinic there, seeing great results, and I feel great. So that's just one of the services that they offer. They can do primary care, all other kinds of things, from DOT physicals to I'm just got the sniffles. Let me just walk in and see what I can do about that. But you can check out their walk-in hours on their website. So give Connie Geimer and the gang a call at 256-266-1021. That's Cherokee Family Health. Hey, Katie, do you know what's really terrifying? The unseen dangers lurking in your water.
Exactly. We spend all this time talking about crimes, but what about the crimes happening right in your own pipes? Hard water, chlorine, and contaminants could be wreaking havoc on your home and your health.
That's why we trust Aon Water Technology, an authorized Connecticut dealer, to keep our water clean, safe, and most importantly, free of unwanted intruders.
Whether it's for your home, business, or family, Aon's filtration and softening systems give you crystal clear water, no mystery involved.
So don't wait for a real horror story to unfold in your plumbing. Call Aon Water Technology today and get the clean, crime-free water you deserve.
Visit aonwatertech.com or 256-262-3426 and schedule a free water test. Be sure to mention True Crime and receive a 5% discount on any system or service. Hey, True Crime fans, it's time to start planning your 2025 summer staycation. Why not take it right here in Cherokee County, Alabama?
We have a ton of things to do here in Cherokee County. You can wet a hook in Weiss Lake, swing away at Cherokee Pines Golf Club, take in the breathtaking views at Cherokee Rock Village, hike the National Preserve at Little River Canyon, enjoy an all-day splash at Pirates Bay Water Park, and there's so much more.
The Cherokee County Chamber of Commerce and Tourism has a full list of lodgings, RV sites, kayak rentals, and campgrounds. And they're all anxious to meet your vacation needs, whatever they may be.
So come stay with us this summer from wherever you are. Plan your Northeast Alabama summer staycation by visiting cherokee-chamber.org.
Kelly and Katie, let me tell you guys a story. Just a quick one about something that happened to me recently while I was dining at Easy Street Restaurant, Bar, and Performance Hall. A man there told me that he and his wife were moving into the area sometime soon, and they were looking for somewhere to live. And I said, the first guy you should call is Greg Oliver. Greg is the owner and broker at Go Realty here in Center. If you're like the man that I met who is thinking of moving to this area and you're looking for a home or property anywhere in Northeast Alabama or Northwest Georgia, give Greg Oliver a call at 256-504-3847. Greg has a full list of waterfront, residential, commercial, farm, and investment properties, and he is ready to help you find whatever you are looking for.
Thank you to all of our wonderful sponsors. All right, Scott.
Okay, so what do you guys think so far?
Dwelled on the poem and...
Kelly's already grabbed this copy of the poem that I have, and she's been going through it again during the break. She's trying to solve this mystery.
I really am Katie not. I'm just trying to...
Still looking out the window.
You know, I'm not a... I've never really... I don't know.
We need blinds on that window.
I don't know. Where is it? The Grand Canyon?
No.
Okay. The home of the brown and the B is capitalized.
Yeah.
The brown.
That's very insightful. Very insightful.
But I don't know what that means.
You will in a minute.
As far as the brown.
Yeah.
If you read enough like romanticy kind of books, you learn that like author capitalizes something, it means something. Mm-hmm. If they put something in italics, it means something. Mm-hmm. Like you,
mm-hmm. You guys are on.
You don't have to paddle up a creek.
Yeah.
Then, so don't do that.
Right.
So I, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, I can tell you what some people thought.
Okay.
They thought, oh shit, let's go get that treasure.
Well, sure they did.
It really wasn't all that many people involved in the hunt to begin with from 2010. But then on February the 27th, 2013, Forrest Fenn appeared on NBC's morning show Today after one of the reporters had seen a local news report somewhere in the Santa Fe area mm-hmm. about this treasure hunt in the Rocky Mountains. And that was precisely when the oh shit hit the fan.
Oh, sure. Because how many people saw that?
As
morning?
Interest grew in this hidden bounty. And as explained very well in this Netflix documentary series, you got to watch Golden Greed if you're interested in this at all.
Okay.
Fenn became a cult-like figure to thousands. The more dedicated treasure seekers even used software to analyze his facial expressions in follow-up TV interviews on Today and other news outlets, hoping to get a hint as to the box's whereabouts.
Well, and he seems like a very interesting character, too, because talking about his time during the war and everything he'd gone through. And then he has
I would love to read that book one day.
Yeah, and then he has this really interesting art gallery. Mm-hmm. And so why wouldn't he have a fancy treasure? He's got a fancy art gallery.
Yeah. Yeah, you should. I've never. You can see inside his house, I think, in the documentary series. Basically, his house is a museum. Was a museum. He had turned it into the most amazing thing you'd ever seen.
Right.
So thousands of treasure seekers from around the world. It's getting into the tens of thousands now.
He's an interesting looking guy too.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to show you a picture
Google
of him
and
later.
See his photo, but
some diehard folks spent years dedicated, lost their jobs, lost their girlfriends and their wives. Finn communicated regularly with his ever-growing number of fans and admirers and once estimated that he had received 13,000 emails and 18 marriage proposals from treasure seekers all over the world.
That checks out.
Yeah.
That's what crazy people do.
I know, right? And that's according to journalist Ben Wallace, who wrote an in-depth feature about the quest for New York Magazine in 2020. And he was interviewed in the Netflix documentary, so you can hear from him if you see it. Wallace wrote that the search gave them meaning in their lives, these treasure seekers, and it led people to give up everything in pursuit. Wallace described people who were going through their lives, their life savings, for their searches, to work on their solves. That's what they're called. If you come up with a solution for the poem, it's called a solve.
Okay.
Some relationships ended. Some people even ended up in prison. A psychologist at the University of North Dakota conducted a study on the Finn treasure hunters in 2020 and found that 10% of those who blogged online about their trips into the Rockies to search for Finn's treasure described their involvement as, quote, a possible addiction.
Yeah.
I don't know if possible should be there.
Yeah, I know either. There were at least 6 documented instances of people taking it too far, 5 of whom died in the wilderness.
Oh,
and I'll go through those cases in a moment. And then there was a guy named Paco Chavez. He became convinced that Finn's granddaughter was the treasure and began stalking her.
Well, that's unfortunate.
To the point that eventually moved out of the state of New Mexico.
Good grief.
So he was just stalking her, thinking like she was going to reveal herself as the treasure, or he was going to have to take her forcefully, or what?
He read the poem in a way that he thought
that was his
she
soul.
Was the treasure. So did he think he was going to stalk her and then she was going to fall in love with him? And
you'd have to ask Mr. Chavez about that.
Get the treasure. Come on, Paco.
So she moved out of New Mexico. Meanwhile, back inside the state of New Mexico, Paco ended up convicted of stalking and spent some time in prison.
Good. That's justice.
And then after that, Paco returned to Finn's property, broke into his compound. He has a Finn lived in this walled house.
Mm-hmm. Well, sounds like he needed to.
And tried to get into the house again. He was arrested for violating a restraining order and sentenced to 3 more years in prison. His whereabouts are currently unknown, at least to me. Again, don't forget, mediocre journalist.
Good grief.
Finn said in one published interview around this time that he figured approximately 7% of the people who were looking for his treasure were certifiable crazies.
It's probably a low figure.
I think it's low.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paco Chavez was definitely in that 7%.
Mm-hmm. Was Paco a local guy? I mean, how did he learn about
I don't remember where he was from.
Okay.
But
seems like that's the crime.
Yeah. Well, you get a big enough candy jar, there's going to be a couple of nuts in it, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
So this online community began to spring up surrounding the search for Finn's treasure. People would get together on these blog posts, forums, and discuss maps and mountains and mope about their unsuccessful attempts to solve Finn's riddle. Mm. As for the 5 who died during their quest for the treasure, the first of them was a man named Randy Bilyeu. He drowned in the Rio Grande River and was not found for 6 months.
He says, "We're not paddling."
I know that.
Why are we in the river?
I don't know.
He does mention water, but I think that's just to kind of give you a location more so as...
Yeah. He definitely left the poem, the meaning of the poem, open for interpretation.
Yeah.
And you know, some got it more right than others. The good news about that drowning, tiny bit of good news, Randy Bilyeu took his little dog with him and they found the dog alive. Mm. That was in 2016.
Well, because the dog said, I'm not going in there. Well,
and dogs can swim.
Are you crazy?
Yeah. No, the dog was with him on the raft when the raft turned over.
Oh, yeah. Goodness.
In 2017, it was a bad year for Finn treasure seekers. Paris Wallace was found dead also along the Rio Grande. Mm. He was trying out his solution or solve to locate the treasure. That same year, searcher Jeff Murphy died after he fell 500 feet in Yellowstone National Park.
Oh.
He took a step and the ground gave out from under him and he fell to his death.
Ooh.
Eric Ashby drowned while rafting the Arkansas River. And
once
you guys
again.
Remember, I know, you guys remember where we learned how to pronounce it, Arkansas River, right?
Mm. Oh.
The poor clutters.
I know, yeah. I know.
And yes, again, Katie's right. Why are we in the river?
I mean, like, that's what stuck out to me, Matt.
The fifth Forrest Fenn-related death was Michael Wayne Sexton, who also died in 2017. All these are taking place in 2017. Mm, it was a bad year. He was looking for the treasure along the Utah-Colorado border in Dinosaur National Monument. I don't know why. So all these deaths, one right after the other.
What happened to him? Do we know? Or just elements got him?
That's exactly what the elements got him. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how
he froze to death.
Okay. How is Finn responding to this?
That's a good question.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll tell you in a minute.
Okay.
So all these deaths, one right after the other, as the hunt for Finn's gold really began to heat up. And at this point, Finn was on TV all the time, becoming more and more of a celebrity to his followers. So much so that an annual event sprang up in Santa Fe called Finn Burry. During which seekers from all over the country would gather to commiserate with each other, share their solves, and shake hands with the man himself. Finn loved the attention. He always attended.
Yeah.
He's a bit of an egomaniac, Mr. Finn. But the dangers were also piling up, and tens of thousands of dollars in public funds were being expended looking for these lost treasure seekers.
It got
to the point where New Mexico State Police Chief Pete Casetas publicly implored Finn to call the whole thing off.
Yeah, dude, you're causing way more work for us. Yeah, we've got enough on our plate
anyway. What he said. In the Netflix documentary, Casetas explained that he did not know any other way to try and put an end to it all other than begging Finn to call the whole thing off.
Well, and he's having to utilize all of his resources, plus other first responders are putting their lives in danger trying to get these bodies out of these elements. It's causing a little bit of chaos. And by little bit, I mean a lot.
Yeah. After a few days, Finn politely declined. After a few days, he said,
come on, Finn.
He said he had thought about it, but he didn't really know what good it would do. That's an indirect quote. That's basically what he said.
He's like, the Pandora's box is already open. Yep. What are you going to do?
No putting this toothpaste back in the tube.
Yeah. Well, you could just tell everybody where it is, go get it, and say, all right, guys, here it was.
He chose not to.
Yeah.
One man and several of his friends spent over $30,000 over the course of 5 years and 17 total trips out into the Rockies to dig a 15-foot deep hole in northern New Mexico in a futile search for the treasure. He ended up caught by park rangers and issued misdemeanor citations for destroying public land, using a metal detector in a state park, and littering.
Oh, is that a apparently metal detector in a state park? Okay.
I guess they figure the next thing is you're going to start digging.
Is that every state park or just...
It is in New Mexico. Mm. I don't know. Mm. On another occasion in 2018, Finn returned from the dentist to find a man on his private property inside his compound at his home in Santa Fe. According to this treasure hunter, the poem directed him directly to Finn's house. He had broken in and taken a box that was about the same size as the box described, but it was in the bathroom of the guest house and it had a couple of towels in it.
Finn needs better security.
He had, I've seen the photos. He's got a nice wall, but every one of those mechanical garage door, down where you drive in at the end of the driveway, there's always a door there beside just in case it breaks and you can't get in. You got to have some way to go in and manually open the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing's usually a heavy metal door and it's well
usually locked. Yeah.
But this guy kicked it in. The agreement that they came to at the end was that if the guy would pay the $1,600 to have his property repaired, Finn wouldn't press charges.
Mm-hmm.
That guy came all the way from Pennsylvania, 1,800 miles.
This is way out of hand.
Yeah, that was in 2018. We're 8 years into the search. The quest for Finn's little box of booty had indeed spread far and wide. Well, I'm trying not to say treasure every time.
Booty spread far.
In case you guys haven't figured it out, that's the word I'm going to say over 40 times today. It's treasure.
You know what? I haven't even noticed I was going to ask.
Yeah.
I was going to have to ask.
You will now.
Okay, yeah, treasure.
Finally, the search ended for good.
Oh.
In 2010, when a young man who turned out to be a Michigan native found the antique box.
Did he now?
Somewhere out there in the ripples of the Rockies.
In the Rockies.
Yeah. Finn confirmed the find in a mass email on Saturday, June the 6th, 2020, but he did not mention the man's identity.
Yeah, I was about to say, it was found in 2020, right? Yeah. You said 2010 the first time.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it was 2020. It began in 2010. It was found in 2020. Okay. The search lasted for a decade.
And you don't know who this man is?
I'm getting
there.
Oh,
okay.
We didn't then.
Okay.
Finn said in his blog post that he would leave it up to the man himself to reveal his name and the location if ever he chose to do so.
All right.
Needless to say, that decision caused a massive stink in all of the hunter-centric tomorrow blogs and online forums.
Everybody thought it was a trick, that it hadn't actually been found.
To borrow a phrase from my favorite poem of all time, Casey at the Bat, fraud, cried the maddened thousands, and Echo answered fraud. The cynics, hoaxers, and conspiracy theorists had begun screaming immediately, and they followed with their lawsuits.
I think if you're going to use any kind of thing to quote this scenario, you're going to need to go more in a Lewis Carroll direction. Yeah.
Robert Louis Stevenson. After 10 years, finally, the game is over. Hmm. And as you might expect, everyone who played this high-stakes game was pissed off, except for the guy who won.
Yeah. Well, sure, he's happy.
Eventually, 13 days later on June the 19th, after great unrest among all those thousands of treasure-seeking doubters, some of that doubt was erased when Finn released a photo of the treasure chest opened out in the wild and filled with all of the golden goodies, just as he had always described them.
So it's not a hoax, everybody. It was actually found.
That's the picture you showed us?
It's not exactly the same one. I think that's one of it after it was found and curated. In the photo, though, the box was still sitting on the ground, or it was sitting on the ground, presumably in the spot where it had been found. It was surrounded by sticks and leaves. You can see it online. Another photo showed Finn sitting at a desk in an office going through the treasure, presumably after the fellow in the photo with him had returned it. And that turned out to be the case. But that comes later.
So that's the guy that found it. Yeah,
But we don't know that yet.
Oh, okay.
2 months later, in an effort to quiet the ever-rising tumult, Finn finally gave in and told everyone that the treasure had been found in the state of Wyoming. But that was all he said.
Now, you said this is all happening in 2020, right?
That's right.
June,
July, okay. August.
So we are at the height of shutdown.
Oh, yeah.
And people have nothing to focus on but some craziness like this.
Yeah.
Social media is going in all directions. Mm. Crazy is everywhere.
Yeah, and it mentions that in the books several times. Anytime there's public interaction, they always mention, I had to take off my mask and say, you know, and if you, it's just a reminder that this all happened during the COVID epidemic.
And everybody was bored and stayed all up on that social media.
Very good point. Yep. Perhaps unsurprisingly, though, still some hunters weren't satisfied. Some even accused Finn of hiring someone to go out into the wilderness and bring the treasure and pose as the finder in order to end the hunt for good, to spare Finn's family any more of the emotional distress that it had endured for the last decade, and also to kind of comply with the state police chief's request without really complying with it. Hey, somebody found it. It's over. Mm. That was the accusation. And then on September the 7th, 2020, Forrest Finn died of a heart attack at age 90. Mm. 3 months after the treasure had been found.
Wow.
2 weeks later, on September the 23rd, in a 3,000-word essay on a self-publishing website called Medium that you can go read, I did, a former medical student identified himself as the finder. He did not, however, reveal the exact location where he had discovered the treasure because he was worried about people trampling out there and turning this beautiful spot in the Wyoming wilderness into a tourist trap.
Got it.
And he also didn't reveal his name. Okay. Not yet.
Well, probably two wise decisions.
He is also worried about the same things that happened to Finn's family happening to his own.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. He should be.
Yeah.
Because these people are nut jobs.
If you want to know the complete story, and I'm going to sum it up, but if you want to know the complete story and exactly how it was found, that takes place in the last two chapters of Daniel Barbarisi's book, Chasing the Thrill, because he was working on a book about it. He had become a treasure hunter himself. He'd been sucked in by a friend of his, and then the treasure was found. And what did we say about In Cold Blood? You can't finish the book until you have an ending.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Barbarisi had an ending. So we're going to summarize a little bit of about how this guy found the treasure according to the clues in the map or on in the poem.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to leave a few out to make you want to go and dig for yourself. For example, the phrase, warm waters halt. That ended up being the confluence of two rivers where a warm river mm-hmm. ran into a cold river and the water mm-hmm. proceeded to be cold the rest of the way down.
Sure, yeah. That should.
That was Madison Junction.
Okay.
The phrase too far to walk turned out to be 4.2 miles.
That's a long walk.
Yeah. Home of Brown. With the capital B.
The capital B.
As astute seekers always noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Turned out to be a fly fishing spot called Nine Mile Hole that Finn had frequented as a young man where he fished for brown trout.
Brown trout.
No that place.
Is That's a hard clue.
Well, not if you read Finn's book and knew he loved to fish for brown trout.
Mm-hmm.
No place for the meek. That meant it was necessary to cross the Madison River, which you can do on foot, apparently, but it's still, you know, it's a little bit more dangerous than just walking through the woods, and that was the implication.
I could see how a fly fisherman would know that. Mm-hmm. It's just the way that you do it. You're
right.
All up in the water.
Yep. No paddle up your creek was a dry creek bed where when you got to that point, there was another change in direction towards the clue heavy loads, which described a large area of logs and downed trees.
Okay.
And that's all I'm saying.
Why?
On the air.
Why?
I'll tell you guys later, but that's it.
You're going to make our listeners very upset with
I'm trying to make them go and look and dig up some more stuff about
you're
this.
You're definitely
pun
going,
intended.
You're going to hear from Shorty about
yeah,
this
for
one,
sure,
for
about
sure.
That. So in his online essay, The Finder talked about the actual journey that the poem's clues sent him on and all of the real obstacles that he came across along the way. He called it the most frustrating experience of his entire life.
I'm sure. I want to know a little more about this guy.
Well, he spent 2 years looking for. He had narrowed it down. He thought he knew the area.
Mm-hmm.
But he spent 2 years and about 15 trips total looking in this area, this wooded area. And it turns out that there's one clue that says, if you have found the blaze, if you've been wise and found the blaze.
The blaze.
The blaze can be a lot of things, but in some cases, the blaze is a trail marker.
Okay.
What you do is you would take a hatchet and carve out a little square on the side of a tree to indicate that you had been through that area or that this was part of a trail that's called a blaze.
Oh, that's what that's called, the marking.
Yeah, and the implication is, or the suspicion is, that the treasure box was sitting at the base of a tree that had been blazed.
Okay.
In this wooded area where the other clues had led you.
Gotcha.
The finder wrote this, and I'm quoting, "There were a few times when I was exhausted, covered in scratches and bites and sweat and pine pitch, and nearing the end of my day's water supply, I sat down on a downed tree and just cried alone in the woods in sheer frustration." Eventually, the finder was revealed in Barbarisi's 2021 book to be 32-year-old Jack Schuth, S-C-H-E-U-F. He described himself as a millennial with student loans to pay off. Schuth sold the majority of Finn's treasure at auction.
Aww.
In 2022. He couldn't afford to keep it.
Yeah, I get that, but
I know.
Think it's cool to have the treasure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The final tally, about $1.3 million. It included more than 400 items, including the gold nuggets, the gold coins, gold dust in bags, precious jewelry, as mentioned, and a glass jar holding a scroll printed with a 20,000-word autobiography of Finn. No one has read that yet, that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. Stoop said he initially hoped to maintain his anonymity and said Finn had been supportive of that decision because of all of the attacks on his privacy during the decade. Stoof wrote that he absolutely had nothing to hide, but since Finn and his family had endured stalkers, death threats, home invasions, frivolous lawsuits, and a potential kidnapping, he didn't want the same thing to happen to his own family. Stoof only revealed his identity after he found out that he was about to be the subject of a lawsuit by someone who was going to argue that the entire affair had been a fraud and that his name was going to be revealed in the lawsuit. He called that lawsuit an abuse of the court system and maintained that he was the legitimate finder of the treasure. Stoof told Barbara Reese he was thankful to meet Finn once before he died. You saw it in that photo. They met the time he came in and Finn got to go through all of the stuff in the box. He also said Finn's greatest gift to humanity was the treasure because it inspired hope in people all over the world and invoked the joy of discovery for anyone who went into the Rocky Mountains to appreciate its many wonders. And that made sense to me.
Yeah.
There have been other well-known treasure hunts that I found out about. This book by Barbara Reese is fantastic. There was a treasure hunt in England in the early 1980s. There are documentaries about it I've heard. I haven't seen them yet. There was one in the United States in the early 2000s. Now, they had both created interest in treasure hunting. And then as the internet grew and expanded, these now online hunters gathered on forums to discuss the hunt and compare their clues. And so this community of treasure hunters existed already online when Forrest Fenn published his book in 2010. But unlike those others, or many others, Fenn's was not an armchair hunt. You couldn't sit in front of your computer and figure this one out. You had to get your ass up, get off the couch, go out into the wilderness, and find all the clues and match them to the geographic location that would create a path that you would follow to the treasure. Thousands of people did this. But if you don't get, there's a lot of hot springs in the Rocky Mountains. So every one of those hot springs, if it drains into a river, that's a potential starting spot.
Right.
Anyway, one guy figured it out and he knew it. And Katie had it, just like you said, if it's capital letters or if it's in italics, Kelly, you were on it too. This guy was a former journalist, a former writer. And instead of trying to make everything so complicated, he read Finn's books. He read the poem over and over and over, and he realized this guy's just trying to express himself. And he was apparently Finn was a pretty good writer. I haven't read the book. I don't know. But he said, I started to see the clues. And he said, I saw two clues on television. I saw two times Finn was on TV being interviewed, and I was like, that's it. That's a clue. And he turned out to be right. Nobody knows what those two times were. There are online forums where he's been asked questions. And you can go and read the Q&As, and somebody asked him that, and he said, I'm not telling you. Sorry. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
For the record, like I said, Finn died on September the 7th, 2020, just 3 months after the treasure was found. Finn's wife, Peggy, died 4 weeks later.
Oh.
They had been married for 67 years.
Wow.
They were survived by their two daughters, several grandchildren, and a truly unique American story that will likely outlive us all. All right, so that's the easy street version of the story of Forrest Fenn's hidden treasure. Watch the Netflix documentary. Read the books I mentioned if you want to learn a lot more about the greatest treasure hunt in contemporary American history, all of which was spawned by this crazy idea from this guy named Forrest Fenn. And speaking of crazy ideas, I have one.
Oh, gosh.
And my co-hosts know nothing about this idea.
Oh, great.
It's probably going to get shot down as soon as we go off the air, but I'm going to pitch it anyway.
Okay.
I thought it might be a good idea to come up with not a treasure hunt, but something that would get every listener involved with one of them being awarded a prize at the end. Do we have $100 in the account? Do we have $50? You don't have to answer right now, Kelly. I know that Kelly's the accountant here at True Crime. Here's what I thought we would do. I thought everybody who's listening to this episode, send us an email at truecrimeoneasystreet@gmail.com and tell us your hometown. Don't give us your address. We're not going to publish anything, so you don't have to worry about that. But just tell us where you are, and the person who answers us from farthest away at the end of a certain deadline, a timeline, whenever we decide, so this contest doesn't go on in perpetuity, they get the prize.
The prize is not going to be money.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and shoot that down right now.
Well, I mean, yep. We got to make it if where I'm people finance, will actually respond.
Then no. well, we, you know what? We won't tell you the prize, but there will be one.
How about a prize that is a $50 value or something? We don't have to do it today. We'll discuss. Obviously, no. Guys, we have some discussions to do. Definitely. I think Scott just got shot down again. Don't worry.
I don't have any story
of my life.
I don't have a problem doing it on air, but
we'll get Shane to come on and be the judge.
We will. I mean, that's fine. Email us whoever's furthest away. We'll send you okay. a prize.
Okay. Yeah, we're gonna figure out something, and we will get back to you on the exact details of how it's gonna go. Okay. All right, guys, that's the story. Remember, don't drink and drive as you play Shorty West's drinking game. Treasure was the word. I think I said it 51 times, but I went off script a little bit, so I'm not sure. So please don't do this while you're driving. In fact, I wouldn't do it at all.
Right.
You know what? Why don't we just make Shorty do it and go visit him after and see if he can get out of his chair. All right, that's it, guys. I'm done.
Thanks, Scott, for this wonderful adventure you just took us on.
That was a lot of fun.
It seems
you know,
like
I'm in a better mood when it's over if I had fun doing it myself.
Right,
and
right.
I'm giggly right now. That was fun.
It was fun. You're smiling.
Yeah.
You got a little kick in your leg there.
Well, this one's asleep. I'm trying to wake it up.
Okay. Well, I'm going to check this documentary out. I think you all should. Give us the name of it one more time.
Gold and Greed.
On
Netflix.
Netflix. Thank you so much. Thank you to all of our sponsors. Go on social media, say something nice about us. If you don't have anything nice to say, just keep it to yourself.
Yep.
We're fine with that.
Shut it.
Yeah.
Is that it, guys?
That's
Are we
it.
Done?
We're done.
Good night, everybody.